welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And hello, everyone. I'm excited to say that Emily Herrick of Union Vashon is in the studio today. Emily is a yoga teacher and teaches small group yoga lessons at her home studio and also offers private yoga lessons, including for wedding parties, which sounds very fun. Emily is also a wedding celebrant, and if that wasn't enough, she is also a key account coordinator at a natural and organic food broker. And longtime Voice of Vashon listeners may recognize Emily's voice as she previously co-hosted a radio show called Inner Space with interior designer Rachel Waldron, where they discussed how homeowners can create tranquility and beauty around them in the way that they approach space in mind, body, and home. So welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you, Grace. Really great to be here.
I'm excited. And to kick things off, I was hoping we could sort of start back at the beginning and chat a little bit about where you grew up and what you were like as a kid.
Okay. I was born in upstate New York, and sometimes I joke I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth because I was born in Oneida, New York, which is familiar to some as it's a silverware company, but it originally actually in the 1800s was a commune. It started out as a sort of an avant-garde social experiment, and I'm a descendant of the founder of that commune.
So, that is a fun fact.
Kind of wacky, and when my sisters and I were growing up, we didn't realize how unusual that was. But yeah, so I grew up in upstate New York and Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, spent a little time there, and then high school and middle school was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
And what did you like doing as a kid?
I was always a huge reader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite thing. My mother always said Christmas morning I would open everything and look at everything, but then I'd go into a corner with one of the books.
Well, they say reading breeds empathy, so.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I think that worked. And then I also just played outside a lot with my two sisters. I'm the middle of three girls.
I'm the oldest of three girls.
Oh, wow.
And so was yoga or mindfulness part of your childhood at all?
No, I wouldn't say so. That kind of came into my life when I was about 40. I feel like turning 40 was a huge turning point for me. Just started to become more what I think of as more aware and conscious. Kind of, I mean, looking back, I would say I really like the work of Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm.
A New Earth is one of my favorite books. And there's another one I love called by Michael A. Singer called Untethered Soul.
Oh, yeah.
And both of those books kind of encompass the feelings that I was having at that time, that I was feeling like I was kind of waking up from living a sort of an autopilot life, to be honest.
Right.
And then I, you know, ended up leaving my husband that I was married to at the time and getting into yoga, and just one thing led to another. It's been quite a journey when I look back on how much has changed over time.
Wow. And so before, leading up to that point of turning 40, what was your career trajectory like? What did you think you wanted to be? What did you become?
Yeah, sometimes I say I have a kind of a patchwork quilt of a resume because I've done a lot of different things. I was in the advertising world and worked in account work and proofreading. And then I got a library degree and became a librarian, worked in middle school, public. Last library job I had, I was head of a children's department. So I did that, and then I became a professional organizer for a while and helped people clear clutter out of their homes.
Ah, before Marie Kondo.
Yeah. So it's all, like, when I try to think of what connects them all, I think it's kind of underlying, maybe not mindfulness isn't the right word, but it's just sort of a thread of creating space for people to come home to themselves on some level, I would say.
That.
Yeah.
And so did you get into yoga before Vashon came into the picture?
Yeah, I had done yoga by the time I moved here. I guess I'd done it for a little over 20 years. And when I first started doing yoga, it was completely almost more for exercise than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did decide to do yoga teacher training, I was completely convinced I would never teach. I'm very big on following my gut instincts, and, which is how I ended up here, which I'll tell you about later. But I just had this feeling like something was telling me I should take this yoga teacher training, and I didn't really know why. And I kept saying, oh, I'll never teach. I could never get up in front of a room full of people. I just couldn't picture myself in that role. But, you know, over time, my teacher said, you just have to start. When the training ended and she offered me a class at her studio, she said, there's no way around it. You just have to start teaching. As terrified as you might be, that's the only way you can do it. So I used to have lots of notes next to me, and I was sweating the whole time. You know, I just thought, oh, I can't do this. But I've always believed you teach that which you need to learn about the most yourself.
Oh, I like that.
So I just kept forging on, and one thing led to another, and I just kept going. And now I've been teaching, I guess, 6 years? Yeah. So it's interesting to look back and realize how much can sort of change from what you expect. Or I've always liked the idea of, if you imagine what you want in your life, kind of adding on the phrase, or something even better. Sometimes there might be something you just don't envision at all coming your way.
Wow. You mentioned that you kind of initially got into yoga for the exercise aspect, which I actually really resonate with. Was mindfulness, and you mentioned Eckhart Tolle, was getting into sort of more of that mindfulness and the world of meditation. Did that come as a result of yoga?
I think so. Yeah, that came later. And I had a friend who mentioned that she was trying meditation, so she kind of inspired me to try it. And now I have a daily practice without fail. I think about 3 years now. I don't think I've ever missed a day.
Wow.
Even if it's just 5 minutes. I try to do about 15, but she kind of inspired me to try it. And at first I just felt like I was sitting and thinking. I wasn't, you know, I mean, there's that whole thing of, well, I'm not very good at meditating, which is what most people say.
So as long as you're aware that
when I started, I actually thought that it was something that you'd got good at. You know, and now I realize like that's the whole point, is to not think that.
It's the practice. Right. Yeah, I heard somebody talk about meditation. Like, I've tried it and I really would like to get more into a regular practice. But somebody mentioned that, like, you exercise your body, but when do you carve out time to exercise your mind and your brain?
And also it's just sort of learning to get into your body more and out of your head, you know, like. There will always be those thoughts streaming, like stopping them is impossible, so don't even try. But just noticing, I mean, my mind still goes in a million directions. Sometimes I'm just like, wow, I can't believe how fast my mind went up. I read somewhere, I think it was Jon Kabat-Zinn, who said to try just being in the shower and be present. And I thought, oh, that sounds pretty easy, just in the shower, 5 minutes. But every time I've tried it, I find myself thinking about, what do I need to do at work today? Or what am I making for breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it really isn't that easy to just stand there and feel the sensation of the water and all of that.
It's something you do every day. So you just kind of,
you're kind of on autopilot.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's actually a challenge, to do something as simple as stay present while you're in the shower.
I like that.
Yeah, try it.
All right. I already had my shower today, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. And I'd love to hear the story about how and when you decided to move to Vashon.
Oh, yeah. We have a pretty good story, actually. My husband and I are really interested in food. And we've had a tradition for years where I read some sort of a food-related book out loud to him after dinner most nights. So that was just something we were doing. And we read an article in the New York Times about Kurt Timmermeister, who's a dairy farmer here. And they mentioned he had a book about to come out. So my husband very innocently said, oh, we can make that our next book. So we started reading the book. And after a couple of days of reading it, he said to me one morning at breakfast, what about where that guy lives? And I said, what guy? And he said, you know, the guy in the book we're reading. So I said, yeah, it sounds really nice. And we both went on the computer, and literally within seconds, we were looking at each other saying, oh my gosh, this place looks like it would be perfect for us. I think it was just one of those, the time was right for both of us. So then I said, let me just look online and see what the housing market looks like.
Yeah.
You know, that was, forget it. After that, it was all over.
Oh my goodness.
I saw a house that looked perfect and it was on the market one day. So I thought that was a sign. And I called Leslie Farrell at John L. Scott. She was listed, and I told her I was calling from New York, and she said, listen, if you're really serious, you really need to come out here this weekend because I think that house will probably be gone by Sunday. And I said, no, really? Oh, I didn't expect you to say that. So I hung up and booked two flights to Seattle. We flew out here. I mean, we've never even been to Seattle. We came, we saw the house, we liked it, we made an offer, but I think there were 8 offers. So we just didn't get that house.
Wow.
So at first we were upset, but then we said, it's okay, we still love it here, we're coming back. And we came back 6 weeks later and bought property.
Without a house on it.
Without a house. Okay. And we spent 2.5 years living in 5 different rental houses while our house was being built. And then we finally moved in January of 2017.
Wow. Was that the most like sort of impulsive move that you've made in your life?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people said, what are you guys doing? You don't know anybody there. What if it's the wrong thing? And we both just said, all we know is we're following Emily's gut.
Wow. I love that you both did that together.
Yeah. I was lucky that Michael, my husband, was on board with it.
And did you ever meet Kurt?
Yes.
And tell him the story?
Yeah.
That's incredible. And what do you think it was about Vashon that drew you here?
A big part was community. Mm-hmm. We lived in East Hampton, New York, and even though it was beautiful and we were only about a mile from the ocean, every little cute beach house was getting torn down and with these big giant mansions being built. It was getting upsetting to watch that, and we just felt like there wasn't as much of a sense of community as we wanted. And that's the kind of thing, once stuff like that starts, it doesn't usually turn around and go in a different direction.
Right.
So we just felt like, let's get out here now. And the timing just turned out to be right.
And what were those first few months living here like for you?
So that was, even though we loved it, it was more challenging than I expected. I kind of underestimated the impact that doing something like that has on your life.
Yeah.
You know, like just picking up, selling, putting all your stuff in storage. We drove across the country with our 2 labs.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we lived in all these different rentals. So it was kind of ungrounding. It took a while for us to both land. But we also loved the food scene and the artists and writers and music, all the creative people. That drew us too.
And did you get involved with the yoga scene here on Vashon?
I started teaching at the health club, and I was subbing at Island Yoga. So I met some people pretty fast.
And could you tell us a little bit more about Union Vashon and how that came to be?
Yeah, well, part of our plan when we built the house, my husband's an artist, and that's his second sort of side hustle as well. He works at Chautauqua Elementary, but he wanted to have an art studio, and he's wanted that for a long time. So we had a separate space that we were planning for that. And at some point I said, well, wait a minute, I need a yoga studio. And we said, we can't build another building. So we just said, we're going to figure out how to make it work to combine this one space into both. So I think as a result, he's a much neater artist than he would have been if it was just his art studio. But that's how it ended up evolving that way.
I like that. So you were able to kind of create intentionally a shared art space. I mean, right. Yoga's an art, and there you go. And being a wedding officiant, was that something that came out of this focus on yoga? Or
yeah, actually, it's funny. It did, because I got an email from Yoga Journal magazine, which said, you know, it was like a free webinar to learn about being a wedding celebrant. I guess they have some kind of a partnership with Yoga Journal magazine. They probably think yoga teachers would make good officiants.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I kind of thought, oh, that sounds interesting, but I didn't really plan on doing it. And then, but I remembered the date of the free webinar, and I decided to watch it after all. And as soon as I started watching it, I recognized a guy that I've known for over 40 years is involved with that. They showed his picture on the screen, and I'm like, oh, I have to do this now.
The sign.
Yeah, another sign. So it just felt like something that made so much sense from that perspective I mentioned earlier of like holding space for people. So I decided to go forward with that. And it's a pretty involved program. It's about 8 months online.
Wow.
You really study like the hero's journey and things that happen when people are crossing the threshold into a new stage of life. So I've really, really enjoyed doing that. It's really fun to write the ceremonies. And it just feels like such an honor to be with 2 people that are looking into each other's eyes and making this incredible, momentous decision and having this moment in their lives. So I've really enjoyed doing that.
And have you had any favorite memories that have come out of being a wedding officiant?
I'm definitely going to have some memories soon because I'll be officiating at my son's wedding in about 3 weeks.
Ah, congratulations. Yes. Mother of the groom, yes, and officiant.
So I think that's going to be, there will be some moments there.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't wait to hear about that. Mm-hmm. And so have most of your weddings been on Vashon?
Yeah. At this point, I'm just doing only on the island. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy the smaller wedding. I'm not really one to do these gigantic ones.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing.
It's hard to be kind of intimate sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's hundreds of people.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Vashon seems to have quite a wedding scene.
Yes. I think it's growing all the time, yeah, as a destination.
It's interesting. My husband and I got married at Point Robinson, actually, 5 years ago almost. And at that point, we didn't actually know we'd be moving here, but it's just so pretty. And I'd spent so many years coming to Vashon, and my husband and I thought it would be a great opportunity to kind of like selfishly make everyone experience, mm-hmm, the Vashon that we loved through the wedding.
Right.
So it was,
right,
kind of our one and only time, we thought, to get everyone there.
Was Mount Rainier visible on your wedding?
It was. Beautiful. Yeah. So what is next on the horizon for Union Vashon?
Well, right now I have a couple of availabilities for private clients, and I'm also taking a restorative yoga teacher training this summer in San Francisco with Judith Hansen Lassiter, who's one of the founders of Yoga Journal. I believe she's been teaching yoga since 1971.
Wow.
So I thought I really wanted to take her training, and I thought I better do it because who knows how much longer she'll be doing it. So I'm really looking forward to that. So definitely leaning more in that direction of having a more restorative. I really feel like we have so much, our lives are so hectic. That's, yeah, been something that's really become more and more important to me, is just learning to slow down. And I think we're all so distracted by technology that we need, it's almost like we need a space and a venue and a format in which to allow ourselves to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Even though sleep, people are starting to realize how important sleep really is in the last few years. I think rest is another, it's different than, yeah, sleep. And it's another thing that's really important that most people don't give themselves.
Restorative yoga, is it, how does it differ than, say, like a hatha or flow yoga?
Yeah, it's usually just a few poses, because you're holding them for long periods of time and with lots of props.
Okay.
So you might hold a pose for like 15 minutes. So it's very restful.
Got it. Does anybody ever fall asleep?
Sometimes, yeah. Shavasana is
the
final pose of most classes. The class I teach now, I do a 20-minute Shavasana because I really think that most classes don't give you enough time to, you need that much,
mm-hmm,
to really release and let go. And people definitely sometimes fall asleep in Shavasana.
Oh, I bet. So good. What other hobbies are you interested in here on Vashon?
Well, I'm still a huge reader, and my husband and I love to cook. So we have a CSA box that we get from Old Chaser Farm.
Oh, nice.
For anybody who's not familiar with that, it's community-supported agriculture. So you pay the farmer a fee up front to finance their work, and then you get a weekly box. So that's coming up soon. We get that for about, I think it's about 6 months. And it's really special. So we love to cook at home.
I love the challenges that all the interesting Vashon produce gives you in the, yeah, kitchen if you like to cook. My brother and sister-in-law have been living on Vashon for several years now, and they have come up with a verb of farm standing in the summer, that they go farm standing on Saturday and go pick,
right,
up interesting produce to, yes, cook with at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, having lived here for 5 years now, what are sort of your thoughts about how Vashon inspires you in your work?
I think I would say mostly the natural beauty of the surroundings, you know, just, yeah, that was part of what we really wanted, to get a space that was private and lots of woods. And we definitely have that. And we're at the end of a dead end road, so it's quiet. But yeah, I'd say the natural beauty has definitely been the most inspiring.
I love that. Yeah, we're surrounded by that here. Mm-hmm.
We call it, every morning we walk down to get our newspapers about, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile from the house. And we call that our forest bath.
Oh,
so it's time to take our forest bath.
Are your dogs very happy to be on Vashon?
Yeah, one of them we've had since back east.
Okay, yes.
And she's getting pretty old. So she's been through a lot, yeah, with us. The other one is newer. We've only had him not even a year and a half. We lost one.
The original one of the ones
that crossed the country with us.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. That's tough.
I know. It was hard.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, another thing that comes to mind that I've been trying to kind of tossing it around in my head. I haven't figured out how I want to do it, but I have this idea of teaching some kind of a mindful eating class. One thing that I've always been struck by in terms of food is that so often now, especially if you go out to a restaurant, you'll frequently see a family or people at a table where everybody's looking at their phone.
Yes.
We're all a little addicted, but I feel like that would be a really great place for people to start, is to say, just while we're at a meal, we're not going to look at our phones, you know, and then it gives you this focus on what you're tasting and where it came from and slowing down and all of that. I have keep thinking that I'd like to figure out some way of incorporating that idea into something, whether it's a course or not sure yet.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I know I'm really guilty of the work lunch eating. It's like I'll make myself a nice lunch when I'm working at home, the benefit of working from home, and then I'll sit down with it and then I won't even remember having finished it.
Right. I know.
It's so bad.
I do the same thing sometimes. You have to be very conscious every day to say, even if it's 15 minutes, just walk away from the computer and just look out the window and taste the food. Yeah, because it's so easy to say, well, it took me 10 minutes to put that together, so I better get back to work.
Yes, totally. I'm right there. And I'd love to hear, like, when you have a bad day, do you have any tips or tricks to sort of get yourself back into a good place, particularly if you have to go officiate a wedding or teach a yoga class?
Right.
Do you have any tips for folks?
For me, it's just that whole thing I mentioned before about helping get out of your head and into your body. I really think our bodies are always telling us something and sending us messages, but sometimes they're really subtle. Like an example, just last week I had 2 or 3 days in a row where I noticed I had this really slight headache about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't horrible, but I was aware of it. It was pretty subtle. And I thought, I really need to just take 5 minutes and walk outside. And I felt so much better as soon as I did that. Because it's the work I do is all on the laptop and very easy to get. Just 8 hours pass and I realize I've barely even looked up.
Yes.
I do stand up though. I don't sit. Yeah, I think for me, that's the most important thing, is just to take, even if it's just a few minutes, to take a few minutes outside, looking up at the sky, taking some deep breaths, remembering the rest of the world is out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice perspective.
And I'm a big believer in doing a little bit every day of something really makes a difference over time. I know a lot of people feel like, oh, if I don't have an hour to do yoga, I just don't do it. But if I had 5 minutes, I would do 5 minutes of yoga instead of doing nothing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, same for meditation, same for getting outside. And I think those are the three big ones for me.
Okay, so getting outside, yoga.
Yoga and meditation. Even if it's just a few minutes. I use Insight Timer. Do you use that or are you familiar?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Some wonderful free app. There are paid aspects, but you can get everything for free. And they just have new content every day. It's amazing the amount of content on there. Really good way to get started and to just stick to something.
Yeah, I love how much free content there is out there these days. I actually got into yoga first through YouTube, YouTube videos. It's great to see the barriers of entry into that type of practice be reduced through technology. One of the benefits, I guess, of technology.
Yeah. And I think just being curious is really good. And just trying things and seeing what if you like it. And if you don't, then don't do it.
Yeah.
That's what I always tell. One of the main things I tell new students is listen to yourself more than you listen to me. And listen to your body. Yeah, because we're all so different. Every body is different. So there's definitely no one size fits all with yoga.
Yeah.
Or even meditation. I mean, you just have to be honest with yourself about what feels right for you.
Right. I love that. And thinking about where you were back in New York and where you are currently on a personal level, do you think there's been a big shift through the move?
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's why I ended up here. Yeah, it was something I just needed to do. It was funny, the day we got here to live permanently, as I drove off the ferry, I remember feeling this weird, like, welling up of emotion and thinking, I'm home. And I was like, what the heck is that? Like, I hardly know this place. Like, why would I feel that way? But I really felt that way. I can't explain it. So I think there was either maybe I lived here in another life, or there's something magical for the right people who come here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's, yeah, I can feel that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've heard other people say they have that feeling too. Like, I feel like I'm home.
Yeah, it's strange. I've moved several different places in my life, and I'd say even though Vashon's furthest from where I actually grew up, is the place where I most quickly felt at mm-hmm. home.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
Well, we're very lucky to live here.
Very.
All right. Well, Emily, we've been ending every episode with a quick round of questions to get to know you and your thoughts on Vashon.
Okay.
Are you up for it?
I'm ready.
So the first question is, the Seattle area is known for good beverages, whether it's coffee, tea, wine, beer. Do you have a favorite beverage on Vashon?
Actually, yeah, I have to say Robin Pollard, she does. We get our coffee beans from her. She roasts her own coffee beans, and she has a wine. She has her own vineyard, too.
Wow, where can you find that?
She's part of Andrew Will Winery.
Okay.
And she roasts the beans there. She has her own little facility for that. So that's two things, but they come from one person. So
wow,
yeah.
I'm gonna check that out.
Very good, really high quality. It's really, everything is delicious.
And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island?
Probably either the library or Snapdragon or the Wild Mermaid, I'd say.
Those are good spots.
Yeah. And then the other place I think I'll be spending quite a bit of time will be the Ruby Brink.
Yes. I think there's a lot of excitement about that option. They'll be open, I think, every day.
Yes. And I went to their first soft opening event, and it was really amazing. The food was so good.
Awesome.
They did a great job on that place, too. It looks beautiful.
Yes. There's been a lot of anticipation. I mm-hmm. can't wait to get in there. mm-hmm. And do you have any pet peeves about island living?
The only thing I can think of is people who use leaf blowers. Because that was something that we didn't like about when we lived in East Hampton, New York. We heard that all the time. And I didn't think anybody would use one here, but I do hear them sometimes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even noticed that. But at least there's no snow blowers.
Right.
And do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition?
Oh, wow. There's so many really great ones. But I think the ones that are around Christmas are my favorites. The Point Robinson, I think it might, I don't know what Sunday it is, but it's always on a Sunday. There's a bunch of women who cook food and make cookies, and Captain Joe makes chili. It's like this, it's so old-fashioned and sweet. It's like this little open house in the Point Robinson Lighthouse, Lightkeeper's house, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very sweet. And then I also love the solstice. I don't know if this will happen every year, but the solstice walk that Karen Biondo does at the pond. It's beautiful, like candles in bags all around the trail until you get to the pond, and then there's floating candles in the pond on the winter solstice. And then the third winter tradition I love is the free showing of It's a Wonderful Life at the movie theater.
Jeez, I haven't heard of any of these three, so these are now
this
all
December,
on my calendar.
Yeah, you gotta go to those.
And lastly, I think this is an important one for you, is where can people find you to learn more about you and Union Vashon?
Okay, my website is unionvashon.com. I'm also on Vashon Hub.
Okay.
And on Instagram, not on Facebook anymore, but I'm on Instagram. It's at Emmy Lou Herrick. Emmy Lou.
Like, is Emmy Lou your nickname?
Yeah, my middle name is Louise. Yeah, it's kind of like Emmy Lou Harris, the mm-hmm. singer, but it's Emmy Lou Herrick.
We'll remember that for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming in today,
Emily. Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, I'm excited to see all the things that you continue to do on the island. And thank you all for listening. Again, this is Inspired Island on Voice of Vashon, KVSH 101.9 FM LP. Until next time, stay inspired.